Oh, that's right. Once again, totally local podcast. Monmouth County, Ocean County, and this time a little bit outside of those counties. New Jersey's Jersey Shore's most lovely podcast that you've ever seen in your life. Oh my God, everything you want to know about colorful characters, local businesses, and entrepreneurs. And today we have the youngest guest I've ever had on the show, ever, basically. Jared Curry from Scope 16 Marketing with us today. How you doing, man?
Doing well, man. Pumped to be here.
Well, first of all, kudos to you with the Epic mic and the headphones, because not a lot of guests, none of them really do that. Maybe epic shouts to Aaron Levine over at LG Insurance. He's upped his game, but people don't understand the importance of a well sounding ambiance to these things. So I
gotta love
that.
Blue Yeti.
That's Blue is the brand. I have this old ass like snowball mic that I've used forever. And whenever people are getting mics and stuff, Blue seems like the brand to go with.
100%.
So I mean, let's just jump into it, because I've got some questions here, and nothing is off limit. Now, what I found interesting, obviously, you're the youngest guest, like I said. Usually we cover Monmouth and Ocean County, but you're from Edison. I have friends up in Edison. Edison is pretty much, it's a hop, skip, and a jump away. It's right there. You've been to the Jersey Shore before, I'm sure, right?
Of course.
All right, cool. So let's just pop into it. Now, you started your business, or you got the idea to start your business at the age of the ripe old age of 16, I believe.
Yeah, born and raised in Edison, New Jersey, and being raised in that town, mm-hmm. it was so competitive, the school district, and people really pushed everyone to succeed. Mm-hmm. And I knew that college wasn't right for me. So I was a junior in high school, and I decided that I wanted to go ahead, start a business, and the rest is history, man. It's been an amazing journey, and just so blessed to have the opportunity.
See, I was like, I was going to bring this up, and then I was like, I don't want to, I don't know, if friends, parents, relatives of yours, I don't know if they get mad, but since you said it already, like, college, I've told people for a long time, is a huge, in most cases, well, not in most cases, in very specific cases, is a huge waste of time. If you know what you want to do, and say you want to be, a veterinarian or something like that, and it's like, okay, you got to go to school, you got to get certified, but there's certain things now that you don't need to go to school for. Like you could get online courses, you could go to Google and learn about it, and it's just kind of finding that knack or that niche that you're passionate about, and kind of pursuing it in that regard. So it sounds kind of like you sidestepped all the nonsense, and people were kind of encouraging you to kind of pursue what you were, these marketing ideas, this way you went.
I mean, I've had a lot of doubters, a lot of people telling me I'll never succeed, I shouldn't do it, but uh-huh. At the same time, I've always had a good support system. But just like you said, I don't hate school. I mean, I don't hate education. Mm-hmm. I just don't like school. Schooling is not education. Schooling is something totally different. I love education, though. And like you said, there's so many opportunities out there for everyone out there listening. I don't care how old you are, to educate yourself, whether it be Google, YouTube University. There's opportunities. There's courses out there. You don't just have to go to basic college anymore. It's the 21st century.
Yeah, I mean, I found at a certain point, this is like me, I went to college, and it took me like 6 years to get an undergrad degree. Luckily that my degree was in media arts, which is like a super vague title. Like I went into a lot of job interviews, and they'd be like, oh, you do photography? I'm like, yeah, sure, I do photography. They're like, oh, you do websites? I'm like, yeah, I do websites. So I kind of used that to my advantage, but the amount of money I owed to school versus what I actually do now, it definitely diverged. And what I started to do, and maybe you could kind of identify with this, but what I started to think about when I was out of school, when I was broke, working at a print shop for a horrible boss, and I was like, I got to do something else. I was like, what do people want that I can learn that is relatively inexpensive or free that people don't want to do. And I took that combination and it kind of led me down my hustle in life to figure out what I want to do. Was there kind of a moment like that for you where you were just like, did you always kind of know where you wanted to go, or did you kind of stumble upon like marketing and kind of figure out that this is what you wanted to do?
I don't think anyone wakes up and says they want to start a marketing agency, right?
That's true. Very true.
But for everyone out there listening, you know, when I always knew, and some of you guys might relate for everyone out there listening, I always knew that I had this knowingness that I was destined for something greater, that I wasn't meant to live a life with a 9-to-5 job. You know, I wasn't destined for that. That wasn't for me. Yeah. I knew that deep inside that I was here on this earth and I had a massive purpose in life, and everyone out there does. Some people just don't realize it. Mm-hmm. And from a really young age, I always knew I was going to be doing something special. I didn't know what it was. But when I was a junior in high school, I had read the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It was the summer before my junior year, and that changed my life. And that's what told me this way. I'm going to business. I'm going to make sure that I can generate wealth so that I can live the life that I want. And the marketing agency is just a stepping stone. It's just a stepping stone. It allows me to generate a lot of cash flow really quickly, without that much capital to invest. And that's why I started this agency, to be honest.
So, when you first started out, like, you know, who were your first clients, and like, how did they look? See, the thing is, with the stuff that you're doing, it's kind of, you know, I don't want to discourage older people from getting into it, but you there's like a learning curve where, like, for example, my younger brother, when he was like little, he would play like Call of Duty and he just knew how to play it. Whereas I got on Call of Duty and I was like nauseous and I couldn't like figure it out. So it seems to me that like, you know, younger people like yourself are kind of more acclimated or can like intuitively do a lot of these things. So do you find that like these clients that you were first getting, did they identify with that and say, okay, you know, he's younger, he gets it? Or were they like, this youngster can't do this? Like, how did you navigate those first clients? How did you navigate those waters?
You know, they sounded just like that, Andrew, so you're spot on.
I knew it.
You know, in all seriousness, it was a mix of both. You know, we had some people, you know, one of my first clients, Metuchen Taxi, mm-hmm. in Metuchen, Jersey. They were one of my first clients. Awesome people over there. And now I deal with a totally different type of clientele. But, you know, they were my first. And, you know, at first they were like, whoa, can they do this? But I walked in there. Came off the street with a suit on. Me and my old business partner, Suyash, came off the street with a suit on, and I walked into the office and asked them if we could show them our system that will help them get more business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it just shocked them. You know, we were young, we had suits on, and we knew what we were talking about. So once we got in the door, once people allowed us and they opened up a little bit and they allowed us to show them what we had to bring to the table, they were all for it. They were game.
Nice.
You know, but of course we had those people that wouldn't even have a meeting with us. Yeah. We had one guy, we walked in, he laughed at us, and we had to leave. I won't mention his name.
That's good. That's fair of you. You know, as far as coming up, is it like a numbers game where you get a list of prospects together and you were just kind of hitting the pavement and like going to a bunch of businesses?
You know, like everything in life, it's just persistence meets resistance. I love that. And, you know, that stuck with me for a long time, that phrase. And it just, when it came down to getting prospects, I had to cold call. Mm-hmm. Every day after science class, absolutely failed that subject in school. I think I got like a D, like the fourth quarter, and like a F. It was a mess. I failed that class. But after that class, I went home. It was like the last class of my day. I still remember it. I went home and I was just cold calling. I didn't do any homework. I didn't do anything. I cold called businesses. From the time I went home until it was late at night, I used to, because I got out of school a little later, you know, 3 o'clock. Most businesses owners are kind of out of the office. I was cold calling California because of the time difference.
Yeah.
just bang, you know, dialing, man. Just had to put in the work.
So what is like, you know, as far as like, you know, failing, I could identify with failing classes in high school, you know, a lot. So how did your family, friends, like loved ones, like how did they react to like maybe you weren't doing so great in high school, but you had this ambition to start your own company? How were they kind of reacting to that? Were there people like who were encouraging you to do this?
I encourage myself. Uh-huh. You know, I learned at a young age that sometimes you just got to motivate yourself. You can't rely on other people, and you can't care what other people say. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I didn't care what other people were telling me to do.
Hell yeah.
Like my teachers, my guidance counselors, you got to do this. You're not going to succeed, blah, blah, blah. I wanted to say so many things to them, but I'm not going to go Jersey mode on them right now. It was primarily myself kind of telling myself, hey, I need to do this. And of mm-hmm. course, my mom wanted me to go to school. My dad, he owns a business, so he was a little bit more nonchalant about it. But mm-hmm. still, they wanted, I need me to focus a little bit more in school, but I didn't care.
So, as far as, you know, as far as, you know, I could identify with that. I had this guidance counselor, Mrs. Cox, was her name. And for some reason, she didn't want me. I wanted to go. What I kept telling her is kind of a joke. I was like, I want to go as far away as possible from here. So like I applied to a couple different schools. I applied to in Arizona and New Mexico. And for some reason, she was discouraging me to do that. And I never understood why. But like I had this voice kind of in the back of my head that I just needed to get the hell out and do what I wanted to do. So I could totally identify with that. Now, when you're starting with this business, like what are some of the there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, young, old, in between, whatever. What are some of the first kind of roadblocks or some of the first hardships that you had to kind of go through? And what can you tell people about how to avoid like frustrating things that happen when you're an entrepreneur running your own business?
Yeah, great question. Well, first thing I want to say, you know, it's mindset. Gary Vee, Edison native, amazing, successful entrepreneur, said, you're going to die. You know, you're going to die. And that's motivation. That is motivation to go out there, not care what other people say, not care about all the hardships, because on your deathbed, Andrew, and for everyone out there listening, I live. Did I truly live the life that I wanted to live? And some people aren't going to have that opportunity to say, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. So I want to be the one. I don't know about everyone out there listening, but I want to be the one who says, I did what I wanted to do, and I lived the life that I wanted to live.
Yeah.
And I didn't care about all the mistakes I made, because that made me who I am. And that is a part of my life journey. So that's one big thing, is just mindset.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I wish I had that focus, motivation, and foresight at your age to kind of pursue what I wanted to pursue. It took me a little longer, but you know, that's awesome. I wonder, you know, as far as when you're working with your clients now, from what I understand, you're kind of teaching them, coaching them, or you have a course in order to show them kind of how to run or market their business, as opposed to you doing it for them. Is that right? Or do you kind of offer both? Do you offer coaching, and then also do you take stuff on?
So we have two different programs at Scope. We have our Blackhawk program, where we do the actual work for them. Mm-hmm. And then we have our coaching program, right, where we teach people how to fish so that they can eat for a lifetime.
Yeah.
So we have our coaching program, and that's more so for brands that are kind of getting started. Don't know a lot, to be honest with you. So they don't have a lot of data. So it just makes more sense for us to teach them, mm-hmm. rather than do it for them.
Are you dealing with now like people in Jersey mostly, or like you said, are you still dealing with like people out of state, different states, as far as, you know, helping them market or teaching them how to market?
Oh yeah, we don't really have a lot of clients in Jersey. Uh-huh. I don't know, this just worked out that way. Yeah. But you know, we have international clients, Canada, UK, Australia, New Zealand. We're international, right? So it's because it's online, right? It's digital. So we kind of just go with the flow. That's whoever awesome. Comes to us, that's who we work with.
That's so great. That's the way to do it. You know, and as far as like, you know, I don't know, there's people out there that have 5, 10, 15 year plans, and they're all about that life. And I don't have that. Maybe I should. I'm kind of old though, so I you know, it's maybe it's too late for me. But do you project that far out as far as like where you want to be in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
I do. I'm big into writing down my goals. If you write down your goals, you're, I think, 40% more likely to achieve them. So I'm big on envisioning stuff and, you know, future pacing and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I do, you know, 5 years down the line, I have my goals 10 years down the line. I don't go 15 years down the line. I'm not there yet. Uh-huh. We'll see what happens. But I do have like, I would say 5 to 10 year goals and where I want to be in life.
That's great. How do you, okay, so... Are you one of those people that's just like I'm going to work all the time and that's all I'm going to do? Do you find yourself getting burnt out, or what do you do to kind of have a little downtime? Like how do you take a step away from your business, or are you just like a ravenous machine that's just working all the time?
That's a great question. So I used to just, nonstop, bang, 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 uh-huh. work all day long. I recently started taking the weekends off. Just because I needed to. I was getting burnt out, and I have a team now, and I can give responsibility and tasks to them. So now what I do on the weekends, I decided to, hey, I'm going horseback riding. Nice. Legacy Riding Stables over in Sayreville, right? Go there. I try to go there every weekend, horseback riding, or I go paintballing. Last weekend? 2 weekends ago, I went skydiving. I try to do some crazy stuff, some exciting stuff.
I saw that skydiving video. That was crazy.
Thank you. Yeah, it was insane. I try to get out there and live life, you know. And right now I'm trying to automate my business so I don't have to be in the day-to-day. I don't want to work in my business. I want to work on my business. Mm-hmm. And I want to have the freedom. I live the laptop lifestyle. This is Wi-Fi money. And I want to have that freedom to say, hey, I don't want to work for the next month, but I'm still going to make money.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm doing right now. Trying to automate the business.
Do you find it difficult to, like, some challenges that I've faced is when I'm doing something, you know, I don't want to micromanage it. I want to be able to hand it off. And I've had experiences with my business where I've handed it off and the person was just a straight up clown and didn't know what they were doing. Like, do you find it hard to step away from the role and be able to, like, say, all right, you're going to do this and I'm going to trust you to do that? How do you navigate those waters between making sure people are making you look good and making sure that they're doing the job that they're supposed to be doing?
That's a hard one, man. Number one, you got to kiss a lot of frogs. Hate to say it, but you got to kiss a lot of frogs until you find your Prince Charming.
Yeah.
Number two, only hire A players. You know, I only hire A players now. We vet a lot of people that we have a recruiting agency whenever we need new team members. Mm-hmm. So they do vetting and then we do vetting on our end. We put people through a 30-day trial period. If it doesn't work out, it's no hard feelings. If it works out, perfect, you know? It's a big trust factor, right? We just hired an ops manager. She's amazing. Mm-hmm. She's an A player, you know. You just got to kiss a lot of frogs. You're not always going to find your perfect fit, but if you want to automate your business, you gotta keep testing people out until mm-hmm. you find the right one.
Yeah, that's definitely. Definitely. So, I mean, what are some of the main? You mentioned Rich Dad Poor Dad as a thing that opened your eyes. What do you think? Like, what is like one of the main things you took away from that book that you think other people should read the book for?
The rich don't work for money, and it's okay to fail. That's actually the biggest thing. It's okay to fail. You know, a lot of people, especially in New Jersey, well, at least in the school district I grew up in, it was like, if you got a B+, you are a failure. It's like, what the heck is going on? It's okay to fail. It's okay to make mistakes. And the more and more people can realize that, the more likely they're going to be to take risks, the more likely they're going to be to do what they actually like to do. A lot of people are scared to fail. They're scared to make mistakes, and that holds people back.
Mm-hmm.
Reading that book, Rich Dad Poor Dad, allowed me to experiment and allow me to say, hey, I want to start a vending machine, even though that vending machine failed and flopped. I had a vending machine business, you know. It told me that it's okay to fail. This is just a learning experience.
Mm-hmm.
You can learn from your mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's what's helped me so much from that book.
Man, you're going to be like a billionaire by the time you're like 20. It's crazy. You should be teaching kids in high school. Like these teachers, they're clouds.
I said the same thing. Oh my God.
Do you do like speaking engagements? Do you go places and talk to people? Cause like, I mean, you'd be great at that.
You know, I've been working with my publicist about that. Right now we're just doing podcasts.
Smart.
Like right now. Mm-hmm. On your amazing podcast right now, but yeah, I've just been doing podcasts. Once COVID dies off, then hopefully I can get some speaking gigs.
Yeah, so epic shouts, Mike McHenry, longtime listener, super fan of the podcast. He was just asking about that. Like he says, are there people or companies that use this type of skill to help another business market the job itself? Wait, hold on a second. Could you use this type of skill that you're using right now to help another business market itself to current and future employees, meaning like, in other words, make it feel better to work somewhere with a company. As far as a company being like fractured apart, how do businesses kind of, how would they use your skills to kind of market their business to kind of bring in more employees make them show that like, you know, it's safe enough to kind of work with them. I think that's kind of what he's getting at.
Good question. Well, for a lot of our, whenever we hire employees, we have our team members give us testimonial videos actually of what it's like working with us.
Oh, nice.
And we go out there, we run, and with Facebook now, you have to do it in special ads category. And we create an ad campaign and we just use this testimonial video and we get applicants that way.
That's great.
It's a great way to attract team members, hear from other employees, what's their experience been like.
That's awesome. As long as you don't like have them like tied up in a room with like a torture device or something. They're like, it's great. I love it. It's awesome. You know, that's
how do you think I've been doing it? No, I'm kidding.
that's so cool. Thanks Mike for asking that question. That was cool. I mean, and that brings me to another point. You know, honestly, recently I've been trying to stay away, you know, as much as I could physically and on the podcast from COVID. I don't want to get it on me. I don't want to be near it, but like, I feel like it kind of comes up and it's, I guess it's just inevitable now, but when everything first hit, when the apocalypse was first upon us, like back in the spring, you know, I was scared my business was going to suffer and, you know, decline. But what ended up happening was, things kind of picked up in some interesting ways. You know, did you find that? Were you like ready to pivot as soon as things happened? Did you find business people were looking for your services more at that time, or was there a significant change?
We took an instant hit because we were working with gyms. Instant hit. I'll be fully transparent. We were doing about $15,000 a month, $14,400 to be exact. And COVID hit. 2 weeks later, we were probably down to like $1,000 a month.
Wow. Yeah.
crazy, right? And yeah, gyms are bad.
Gyms are bad, dude. Gyms are so, yeah, they suffered a lot, which sucks a lot. Because people need to be out there and get healthy, and then they can't get out there and get healthy, you know?
Exactly. So we decided to pivot. I almost gave up. It was horrible, right? But we decided to pivot. We switched niches, and we only work with e-com brands now, right? It's something we've always been good at, but we never focused on. Mm-hmm. And now we only work with e-com brands, and they are blowing us up. Our business has scaled significantly, hundreds of percent.
Online shopping. You know, people are doing that more. Are you working as far as e-com? Is there a specific niche within that, or is it larger companies, or is it smaller people? You know, kind of getting their products out. Like, is there a specific niche within the niche?
E-com's massive, right? So, yeah. Like the companies we work with, they're probably doing like 50 to 100,000 a month. Mm-hmm. So like not massive compared to what other agencies are doing, but decent sized companies, right?
That's pretty good.
And we primarily work with them for like our done for you, but then anyone lower than that, it's not doing that much revenue. Primarily our coaching program. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's pretty broad, right? It comes broad. So we just work with anyone who sells stuff online.
What are some of the things, you know, obviously you don't want to give away your secret sauce, but like, you know, what are some of the common questions that people are coming to you, like first couple things? I imagine it's like, how do we sell more? But is there any more specific things that people are like, you know, what they want to know off the bat, or what makes them kind of feel better about where they are, or how you can help them?
Yeah. Well, great question. For everyone out there listening, I mean, we guarantee results. So we guarantee that our clients will make money or else they don't pay us. Plus, we pay them, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So, we're pretty confident when it comes to that. But that's why we have a vetting process. Most people are coming to us because they want that certain level of guaranteed, mm-hmm. that success, number one. Number two, they want to just increase sales, right? Everyone just wants to increase sales. Why? Because they want the freedom. They want to buy stuff. Everyone just wants more sales, mm-hmm. at the end of the day. That's why people come to us. They want to make more money.
Do you find some companies that you're like, say they're these top tier companies, and are there some where you're just like the product they have is a dud, or, you know, maybe you just don't align with their values? Is there certain people where you got to be like, it's not you, it's me. I don't like you. And you have to break up with them. Is there situations where that happens?
We turn probably 60% of the people that come through our ads away.
Wow. I think
we won't work with them.
That's like a big thing for, I think, people to hear, because if they're doing marketing, or if you're a business, you know, there's a certain aspect to it where it's like, it's not only the clients you're bringing in or the money you're bringing in, you also have to find the right people to work with. So how do you qualify somebody, or how do you say, you know, how do you figure out that if there's somebody that's going to align with what you're doing?
Number one, they have to fill an application. It's like 12 questions. Mm-hmm. The application's accepted. They get a meeting with someone on my team. They do an intro call. They audit like their back end, their systems and stuff like that. Make sure that they have inventory, make sure that they are doing enough revenue, they have data. If that all goes well, we take them through another call, and that's where we show them the system, and then they decide if they want to be a part of it or not.
So that's great, man. That's good. Because if you ask somebody 12 questions, if they're not serious, if they're not filling that out, then it's like, wow, you're not going to do the work. Because clients got to know that it's you're going to help them, but there's work to be done. You can't just accept this, you know. And that's another interesting thing, too, that you brought up as far as automating it. It's like people think that they could just, I'm going to hit a button and automate everything. And it's like, well, yeah, like Jared could do that because Jared put in the hours and hours and hours of work to figure out how to do that. And now, like, since you did that on the back end, you could kind of automate it on the front. So, I mean, there is a lot of work to be done, and there's a lot of experience. Like, people are paying for experience hours too. It's not just every hour you're spending on their business. If it takes you less time to do what used to take you 8 hours, takes you now 15 minutes. Like, there's a certain level of experience or energy put into that. So I think people really need to understand that aspect of it too. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. I couldn't agree more. You know, I wish you could come in and tell that to some of our coach. And, you know, our clients that we do it for them, they don't have that much. I mean, we kind of do it for them. Yeah. But our coaching students, man, they so that's another topic for another day. But sometimes people just don't realize that you got to put in the work.
Yeah, and you got to have, like, it's hard too. I would imagine that, you know, obviously you're getting sales for people, and there's a lot of different aspects to that. When you're coaching people, do you ever touch on like how they should be using social media to like put themselves out there?
We are talking about branding and publicity, but we're primarily talking to them about just getting conversions. Mm-hmm. A lot of these small businesses, they want to focus on all these other things. I didn't hire a publicist, mm-hmm. until like 2.5 years into my business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to get yourself out there, but you have to do it the right way. First, you need to focus on sales. You know, you asked me what do business owners need to, you know, prioritize. They need to prioritize sales.
Uh-huh.
It's the most important thing with your business. Every business is a sales organization.
Yeah. I hear you. That's completely true. I mean, you know, and what I was kind of, you know, going to get at is as far as making sure your business is running right. If you have social media, it's great. But if you don't have the personality for it, you might have to like find someone else to like handle it, or find some other way of kind of dealing with it. You know, as far as, you know, the people that have been in your life, you mentioned that there's been positive and negative, you know, from people that you've interacted with, what's like some of the, like, the, what's the best advice that someone's given you from somebody that you've like interacted with?
You know what? This is a story.
Story time, people.
It's a little bit different.
All right.
But, you know, Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, they knew each other as kids.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't know that. And when they were about 10 years old, I believe, their dad asked them is what's the number one thing or trait that someone needs to succeed? They gave them both a piece of paper. They didn't look at each other. They didn't talk to each other. They both wrote down the same word, focus. That is the number one, and I've heard this from a ton of people that I know and successful entrepreneurs. That is the number one thing people need to succeed. Instead of, don't be a one-footed entrepreneur. Focus on one business, one thing at a time, and commit to it, right? Go all in.
So how does that, how does that relate? That's great. So how does that relate to your business where you have to, you're focusing on your business, but your business is helping other businesses, and you also have a publicist, you have to do accounting, you have to do the books, you have to do, you know, the social media stuff. Like, focus is great, but how do you focus when you're spinning all these plates? How do you do that?
One thing we focus on at Scope, sales. We focus on sales. That is our focus. Now, why do we focus on sales so much? Because the more sales we get, we generate, the more team members we can hire to help those clients, to better provide results for those clients. So that's our number one focus. And the way that I've been able to do that is by having a team. I would not be able to do anything without my team. So my team, they all have their own individual focuses, and I focus on one thing, driving the business forward. So that's what's helped us.
That's amazing. So let's do a little hypothetical. You know, totally local podcast. Obviously, it's a podcast about, you know, New Jersey, Monmouth County, Ocean County, the local area, entrepreneurs, colorful characters and businesses. You know, say I wanted to sell some. Say I wanted to sell a T-shirt, totally local podcast T-shirt, and I wanted to get out there. What's some advice? I'm looking for basically free advice from you. What would be some ways of being like, all right, I got this merch. How do I get it out there? How do I sell it, and how do I make sure it's successful?
Good question.
I have to sign up.
Good question. You gotta sign up. No, I'm kidding. So what I would recommend, number one, you have a website, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So really quick for everyone out there listening, because this doesn't only apply to Andrew, right? First, let me just say this, right? There's this guy, he's walking down the street. It's a quick little story. He's walking down the street when he falls in a hole. The walls are so steep, he can't get out. A doctor passes by and the guy shouts up, "Hey, you, can you help me?" Doctor writes a prescription, throws it down the hole, moves on. Then a priest comes along and the guy shouts up, "Father, I'm down in the hole. Can you help me out?" The priest writes out a prayer, throws it down the hole and moves on. Then a friend walks by, "Hey, Joe, it's me. Can you help me out?" And the friend jumps in the hole. Our guy says, "Are you stupid? Now we're both in the hole." The friend says, "Yeah, but I've been down here before and I know the way out." Guys, I've been down here. I know the way out. And I'm going to, for everyone out there listening, I'm going to make sure that you guys know how to start generating sales. That's what I wanted to say first. Next is, you know, you got to make sure everyone out there, you got to make sure you have a website. You got to make sure you have a place where people can purchase this stuff. Make sure that you have, you're collecting data. Get a pixel. Put a pixel on your site so you can start collecting that data. Next thing is make sure that you have an email list. For everyone, Andrew, what you should do is you should do a giveaway. Have people with a landing page, and they, in order to enter the giveaway, they need to put in their email and their phone number. What's that going to do? It's going to allow you to collect all that data, and then you can use that data to target them in ads by using lookalike audiences, custom audiences, and sending those ads to your website to get them to convert. Boom.
That's wow. There you go.
Sales. People.
That's great, man. That's awesome. And for people that don't know, when he's talking about a pixel, it's a Facebook tracking pixel, conversion pixel, stuff like that, right? So,
yeah.
You know, these are things where I'm sure you're dealing with bigger businesses, but for smaller businesses, especially now, like, you know, I always talk about local businesses and colorful characters. Like, in this time, you know, that we're in, you know, brick and mortar, it's a scary business to be in. When you have a physical location and you don't get that foot traffic, people really need to consider, you know, setting up their website. And if they have a website, they got to make sure that it's working for them. Like, they're getting these sales. The holidays are here. So hopefully people are, like, you know, on top of it, because otherwise, you know, they're going to be in trouble. They're not going to get people coming in the door, you know, like they used to. So I think working with Jared here, like, if, you know, in that regard, you know, that seems like a kind of a no-brainer. You need to figure this stuff out because if, you know, especially now, I mean, it's December 1st today. Hopefully you have it figured out already. You know, if not, get on it because it's super important.
Just missed out on Black Friday, unfortunately.
Yeah. How did that
Christmas
go?
Coming up.
How did that go with your clients Black Friday? Did you give them any kind of pointers or like, do you have any success stories as far as Black Fridays went?
We ran our clients' campaigns. We had clients do like $12,000-$15,000 in a day.
Wow.
It was the biggest Black Friday that a lot of our clients have ever had in history. Everyone's at home.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they're just sitting around. They're working off their turkey hangover or tofurkey, whatever they're into. And, you know, sitting around on their computers, on their phones. Have you seen, you know, as far as, you know, you're young, so you probably don't remember the good old days of just like straight up no smartphones, just all laptop stuff. But do you find that nowadays people are just mostly using their phone to buy things, or do you still see conversions via like a laptop or a computer or whatever?
Oh, yeah, we see a lot of stuff through computers. You know, still a decent percentage. You can't just forget about it. Mm-hmm. Phones, of course, everyone's on their mobile, but still a ton of conversions on your computer. Great thing about Facebook is do automatic placement. You don't have to worry about that stuff. Let the algorithm take care of it for you.
How do you this is something that I found by working with people, too, is like, you know, they don't understand. They don't have you know, it's funny when you ask somebody what's their budget. Like, people don't have like a marketing budget. You know, they don't even consider it because they're spending, you know, they're just throwing money at other stuff. But like when you're talking to your clients, do you kind of tell them, or is there an equation that you use to let them know how much they should be spending a month on marketing?
Percentage of your overall revenue. I hate that. 10%, I think. I hate that. Are you making money from your marketing? Great. Spend more. That's the equation.
I love it. That's great.
Unconventional, but it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the reason why people say a percentage is most people don't make money with their marketing.
Uh-huh.
If it doesn't make money, it doesn't make sense. It's not marketing. It's not marketing without profit.
Uh-huh.
That's why people sign up with us, because it just makes money.
Yeah,
so
man.
So who cares about a percentage?
That's awesome. Now, you mentioned Gary Vaynerchuk, you know, New Jersey hero to many. He's blowing up, you know, all over the place. He's still blowing up. I remember when I read his... God, what's the name of that book I read all those years ago? I can't remember the name of it right now. It's totally escaping me. But he was talking about like blogs back in the day. He was talking about like Tumblr. He was talking about all these things. Now he's on TikTok, and he just kind of is always fluid. He's always moving around. Now there's a picture of you with him. Did you get it? Is that like a photo op, or did you actually get to talk to him for a minute?
Yeah, got to talk with the guy. Cool guy. Really nice, really cool guy. And yeah, we talked about some marketing stuff, just geeked out about it.
That's cool. Crushing it.
Also got the photo out with him. Yeah,
I mean, it's you know, you got to get that. I mean, it's so funny. He was doing these TikToks with 2 Chainz like a couple weeks ago, and I'm like, man, I wonder if like 2 Chainz just called him up and was just like, yo, I need help, you know, marketing stuff, because he was doing these, like, you know, after that he was just doing these random silly videos, which I'm like, that's brilliant. That's like what 2 Chainz should be doing. Like, you got to be doing like content and pushing content out there and letting people know your personality, not only like educate people, but like you got to entertain a little bit, you know, if you're going to do that stuff. So I mean, I think that's a good you know, that's a good role model to have. It's good to have a, you know, I saw that picture and I'm like, oh, you know, this guy knows what's up. He knows Gary Vee. So, you know, is there any like, you know, first of all, thank you for your time. It's really inspiring, me being an old ass person, to see somebody young that's like out there motivated to do it. You understand that maybe college isn't for everyone, because you don't want to be spending, you know, throwing money down a hole for no reason. You know, so I want to thank you a lot for, you know, linking up and getting this to happen. Is there any kind of final thoughts or words or encouragement or inspiration for people that maybe are thinking of following their passions that you could, you know, you could kind of relay to them to help them move in that direction?
Let the popcorn pop. You know, you put popcorn in the microwave, slowly pops, right?
Yeah.
Pop. Pop, pop. Over time, it improves and you start seeing the effects, you know, the delayed reactions to your previous actions. And then the popcorn starts to pop, like really pop, pop, yeah. pop, 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 and it doesn't stop. That's what you guys have to do in life. It takes time.
Yes.
It's not going to be instant success, but you got it. And just remember, you're going to die.
We're all going to die, people. You know, what's the best way to get in touch with you? What's the way people need to reach out to you? Cause obviously you could help them. What's the best way to get in touch?
You know, I'm just a normal person. Go ahead, follow me on Instagram, reach out to me via that, official Jared, J-A-R-E-D, Curry, C-U-R-R-Y, like Steph. Follow me on Instagram and, be more than happy to connect with you. Just send me over a message.
Guys, I want to thank Jared Curry for talking to us today. As always, this is Totally Local Podcast, mostly about Monmouth and Ocean County. Sometimes I step out when you got such an amazing entrepreneur with such a great story like Jared Curry here. Guys, follow me on Instagram, totally_local_podcast. Totally_local_podcast. Yeah, I said it right. Follow me there. You know, stay in touch on Facebook, wherever you hear about this. I just want to thank you guys a lot for doing this. Thanks again. That's all I got, really. Let me stop the